Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, November 3rd, 2016. With me today, I have Dave Hamilton. How are you, Dave?
I'm well. Thanks for having me, Jeff.
Great to have you here. And Adam Christensen from the MacCast. How are you, Adam?
I'm doing good.
Awesome. I'm glad you're both here, especially because, call it a hunch, you guys have some strong opinions. And and I'm going to pull on those or draw on those a little bit today. But before we do that, hey, we have a sponsor, and that sponsor is Smart Backup 4 from SolSignal. And their website is solesignal.com, solesignal.com. Smart Backup 4 is a file backup and archiving and hard drive cloning utility for your Mac. And the company's been around for several years, but they haven't let the fact that they've been around and making Smart Backup for a while hold them back from embracing new technologies. So what they did was took their backup system and made sure that it's optimized for the modern technologies that we have today, like the SSDs that are coming standard in our Macs. And the fact that we oftentimes have little desktop RAID systems that we're using for file storage and backup. And the fact that we may have a networked storage system for our backups. So they've taken all of this into account and figured out how to optimize the way Smart Backup 4 gets your files where they need to go, so your backups and archives happen faster and more efficiently compared to other backup utilities that are out there. And that's because they can push multiple files at once instead of just one file in succession. And that's pretty cool, because that means your backups happen faster. That means if you're making a bootable clone of your hard drive, you can get through that quicker. And anything that we can do to improve our workflow so that we aren't waiting for other things to happen, like backups, to me, that's a really good thing. So what you guys need to do is go check out Smart Backup 4. Now, they have a trial version you can download. All you need to do is go to the website. So the URL for that is solesignal.com. That's solesignal.com/smartbackup. And you can download the trial version there, test it out. And if you like it, well, then you need to buy it, because it's a useful utility. But if you buy it before this Sunday, you can take advantage of a $10 discount that they're offering, just to our TDO listeners. So regularly $34.99, you can pick it up for $24.99, but you have to do that by Sunday. There's a special link you need for that. I would tell it to you on the air, but I'm pretty sure it disrupts the time continuum if I say the words. So instead, you need to go to today's show notes. I will have a link in the show notes that will get you right to the discount. So take advantage of that, because $10, hey, that's $10. Why not save some money? If you want to try out the trial version, solesignal.com/smartbackup. And thank you to SolSignal and Smart Backup 4 for being our sponsor today. Okay, so the reason I wanted both of you here today is, I guess the easy way to say it is, this is Adam's fault. Adam, you came up with a question that I thought was actually really good, and I'm going to try and paraphrase your question. Who did Apple design the MacBook Pro with Touch Bar for? Who's the target market for this?
Yeah. Simple question, but I think there's a lot of complexities in the answer. It's just something I've been trying to sort of puzzle through since Apple made the announcement. And there's been a lot of back and forth, different, you know, pros and cons. Some people, you know, praising certain things, and other people sort of criticizing other things. And I'm in this place of trying to make sense of it all. And when I was looking at all the things that people were saying, what I kind of was noticing was, to me, it seemed even in the community, people are a little bit confused about, you know, some of the decisions that Apple made and some of the directions and choices that they chose for this model. And it all came down to this question for me. It's like, yeah, like, who really why did they do the things they did, and who are these things for? And I think if you look at the one thing that I immediately got from the keynote with who they brought up on stage and who they had involved with demoing the touch bar was it seemed to me like they were really targeting who the MacBook Pro you would assume is for, which is the pros, right? Mm-hmm. And so they spent a lot of time showing pro apps and things running on the MacBook with the touch bar targeting pros. But when everything ended and I sort of stepped away from it and I looked at pros in our community who were talking to me, a lot of them weren't buying it. So it seemed like Apple was trying to do this hard sell, and I'm not sure that it worked, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Okay, so what features did you look at and think, why was Apple looking at this and saying, ah, that's a pro feature?
You know, I think a lot of it was the touch control stuff, the when they were demoing Photoshop, this idea of sort of using, you know, two fingers, having one on the touch bar and having one, you know, so workflow efficiency stuff, you know, scrubber bars and various controls. But again, I wasn't really sold on it, if that makes any sense. Like, I saw it as like
a pro machine, right? I mean, it's MacBook Pro, but they also set it up in front of two LG monitors and said, here's your Final Cut workstation, right? So here you go, folks. If this is you, this is the machine for you.
Well, and you know, the focus on calling all the ports Thunderbolt 3 ports when they're not really... They carry Thunderbolt 3, but
They're not Thunderbolt 3 ports. They're USB-C ports that carry Thunderbolt 3. And, oh, yeah, by the way, power and Thunderbolt 2 and Thunderbolt 1 and USB 1, 2, and 3. And I think that might be it.
Right, but that's deliberate. That's port. Deliberate, that's right. So that they can communicate to pros that, look, this has really got all the pro power and things that you want.
Yep.
You know, but when it comes down to things like processor and storage and all these other things that pros really care about, you know, that stuff was a little bit sort of glossed over. And I think deliberately. So when you step away, it's like they're really selling this as a pro thing. And it also felt to me like they were trying to divert attention from the fact that they didn't upgrade either the iMac or the Mac Pro desktops, which pros also very, very much care about and haven't been updated for a long time. So I don't want to get back on the keynote because I want to get back to this underlying question of, you know, so who is the Mac Pro targeted at? Because it feels like they're trying to sell it to pros. The pros aren't buying it. There's a lot of consumers who I think are very interested in it, but the price point in some of the decisions that they made seem to knock those people out. So I think beyond the people who've just been waiting for an upgrade and are ready, which I think they're getting a lot of those sales right away, I'm just curious, you know, with Apple's upgrade cycle, and this is presumably the version of the MacBook Pro that we're stuck with for the next 18 to maybe 24 months with maybe some minor revisions at some point, who knows. You know, where does this fit, and who is buying these machines? I think, you know, a developer like myself would be interested in it. But again, once again, I'm not sure that there was enough in there to push them over the top. And I think, Dave, you mentioned this earlier, and I'm seeing the same thing, that a lot of people seem to be going for the older model now. Well, yeah, that they've seen the new one.
There have been a lot of folks, and you know, we have them as listeners to this show and Mac Geek Gab and just general kind of the people in our community. There have been a lot of people that have been waiting to buy a Mac laptop until Apple held this event or made this announcement, right? We didn't know that there was going to be an event. I mean, we guessed that there was going to be an event, but we kind of knew they were coming or should be coming. So it was, yep, if you can possibly hold off, go ahead and hold off, and then, you know, see what they do. And maybe you'll want what they offer brand new, or maybe you'll want, you know, a refurb of the old one that you might get a little bit of a deal on or whatever that turns out to be. And a lot of those people are not buying the brand new MacBook Pro. Some of them certainly are, and some were just waiting, and it was, hey, whatever Apple releases, I'm going to buy, you know, the best model of, or certainly the best for me. I mean, some people might prefer 13-inch to 15-inch or vice versa. And so that, you know, that camp exists, but there's a ton of people that are like kind of looking at it with this sort of, huh? And right. then saying, okay, well, these are my, if I want a Mac laptop today, these are my options. So let's go ahead and maybe we'll buy a refurb of last year's model. They're not seeing the value in what Apple's currently selling as their new, you know, state-of-the-art MacBook Pros. The price to performance, or really it's price to value to people, just isn't there, especially when, you know, if you're somebody that wants like a 13-inch MacBook Pro, you can do that right now for, you know, right in that like $1,100 range. You can start talking about a decent machine, and that's just not going to happen with the brand new ones. So
yeah, it's going to cost more.
They cost quite a bit more. Yeah. Yeah. And it's just weird. Even looking back to the event, I feel like this is very much a transition model for the MacBook Pro lineup. And I'm in many ways, I'm reminded of when the MacBook Pro with Intel chips, with the Intel chips first came out. It's like, okay, if you want to be on the new track, go ahead and get this. And it's not quite that, because they're all still Intel chips, but this is like the new way, and eventually everything's going to be like this, we right. think. But really, we're just kind of testing the waters and making sure everything works. But, you know, right now the laptop lineup is in a state of flux. I mean, the fact that they bothered to tell us, hey, we still have the MacBook Air, but by the way, we've got this sort of less full-featured version of the 13-inch MacBook Pro that's a lot like the Air but better, except you've got to spend an extra $500 to get it. Like that's a really like way to confuse people even more. Thanks.
Right.
You know? And but right. I, but Apple, this is what Apple does. I mean we're sitting here complaining about it, but as frustrating as it might be, especially as someone who needs to buy at least one, if not two, or maybe even three laptops in the next 12 months for my family, you know, the choices aren't entirely obvious, although the fact that the new ones are so overpriced compared to what I need for my family means that I can probably get away with buying a refurb, whereas if Apple had done something different, I might not have been able to get away with convincing the kids that that's the right model for them. So,
well, and the other thing that plays into this, and I don't want to make the impression that, you know, I'm not really complaining about this as much as just confused by it, if that makes sense. Like, I think these yeah. are good machines.
Yeah, totally.
There's nothing wrong with them. But that price point thing is the thing, right? I think that is really keeping a lot of people away. And so that plays into my question about this as well, is like, who are these for? And they haven't really made a justification in my mind for why the price increase, unless it's just the touch bar technology. But then, you know, you look at the non-touch bar machine, and like you said, Dave, you know, there's a price bump there too. So it's sort of like, if that's going to keep people away, if the costs of, you know, putting larger storage in there, and by the way, another baffling thing that happened that played into my question as well was Apple cutting the price on storage upgrades for the older models.
Right.
So they dropped SSD upgrades about $100 to $200 on the older models. So just another reason why, if you were waiting and you feel like there's not enough compelling stuff in the new model for you, hey, you can save even more money, get more storage in, and get, you know, last year's machine. So I think maybe you hit the nail on the head in the fact that Apple recognizes this is a transitional machine.
Yeah.
And the only reason I can find it, and I'm happy to be proven wrong or if anybody has a different theory, but it seems to me like the price increase is purely a profit-taking measure to the end that they know they're not going to sell probably a ton of these, so why not get a little more money for each one that they will sell? Because there is going to be a ton of people who are yes. going to buy this because they yeah. want the cool new technology. They like the whiz bang sure. stuff. They want the best Apple machine, portable machine that's on the market. And no doubt, you know, a lot of people are going to be very happy with this machine. I think it's got a lot of nice features, but I just don't see it as, you know, something that has a lot of longevity yet. What I worry about is, like I said earlier, this is the machine we've kind of got if Apple sticks to convention for the next 18 to 24 months. So then that brought me to that original question. Like, so
they still have last year's 13-inch MacBook Pro in the store as a new machine, not just as a refurb. And it wouldn't surprise me if the quote-unquote refurb store remains fairly well stocked for a while. For exactly the reason you just said. Like, look, we know that this is a transition and we don't want to rule anybody out. So frankly, we're kind of keeping more things in the lineup than we normally would. And bear with us, a year from now, it's going to start to get cleaned up and you'll see where we're going.
Yeah. So the last part of this equation that really threw me off, because I immediately got a lot of feedback from the community on the pricing thing. And I don't want to belabor this because, you know, it's not about necessarily Apples are more expensive and PCs are less expensive, but there is a valid point to be said where, you know, a couple people pointed out if you spec out, and I found, I think it's the HP 360X Spectre machine. You can spec that out almost one for one with the 13-inch MacBook Pro. And I think when I did it, that MacBook Pro came out at like $2,400, and it was about $1,600 for the HP.
Interesting.
Same processor, same SSD, same resolution screen.
You know, if only we could run Mac OS on it, right?
Right. And so I'm all for, you know, and it's an aluminum machine. It's premium. And I think it even has a touch screen. You know, not that I care much about that or that's anything. But I found it interesting that, like, you know, it's the same sixth generation processor, the same, you know, integrated GPU, all the specs. And that's a huge price difference. And so when consumers see that, you know, I do think it kind of gives you pause, right? You kind of go, wow, like, why is there so much extra rolled up in there? I get paying a premium for Apple. I'm happy to do that. But this seems like an excessive premium.
Yeah.
At a certain point. Yeah. And so it makes me question, like, where is the thinking? And again, all I can keep coming back to is, like, they know they're going to sell a lot and they can make more profit. And that's great. You know, I'm all for Apple doing good business-wise.
Sure. Of course. Yeah.
You know, that's fine. That's fine by me. But I think what I'm seeing is a lot of people saying, all right, great, Apple, that's great stuff, but I'm going to take a pass on this one.
Dave, I think you're right that this is a transition machine. And I'm buying one. Mine should be here in early December. And I'm okay buying a transition machine because the specs that it have, they meet my needs for now, and I need to get a new computer. So, and then I have the added bonus of now I can test out and try the touch bar. I can see how Thunderbolt 3 performs, and this is the right computer for me to get right now.
Yeah.
My guess is that if Apple were to give us an interim upgrade on this computer, that, you know, like maybe late next year, we get a Kaby Lake version.
Right.
And if we get a Kaby Lake version, at that point, Apple probably could give us 32 gigs of RAM in the computer because Kaby Lake supports the low power RAM chips that Skylake does not.
Right.
And so, but then they could also wait because the processor that replaces Kaby Lake next fall is the big change. So then maybe Apple would just skip over that and wait until they can get the post Kaby Lake processors in quantity and then give us a new MacBook Pro. So yeah, we could be stuck with this version for 18 to 24 months.
Yeah, and I don't want to run us long, but I kind of want to bring it back around because really in that keynote, I think Apple tried hard to show that this machine was targeted at, say, a Final Cut Pro editor. And I'm just curious to get your guys' opinion. I mean, you see someone who's doing Final Cut really going after this machine? Because I'm not sure I'm so convinced that that's who this is for.
No.
Even though, you know, like they're adding all this Touch Bar stuff into Final Cut. But, you know, I need to talk to more professionals out there and I'd love to get more feedback. So if you are out there and that really jazzes you, great. But it seems like a cool gimmick that gives great demo, but I'm not so convinced that there's a bunch of, you know, Final Cut Pro editors rushing out to buy this machine.
Yep, my guess is they will wait to see what happens when it actually ships. I'm curious to see if Apple has done something clever with the way that model handles memory. Mm-hmm. So, it has a really fast SSD. The bus is pretty fast. The RAM is fast. So maybe they've done something that really optimizes the memory swapping, so the 16 gigs of RAM won't be a big problem. I mean, I don't know. I'm just totally pulling that out of my butt.
No, I mean, that's a valid point, because that is a concern that I've heard from those, again, those people that supposedly, if you watch the keynote, you think they're targeting, but a lot of them are dropping back going, well, I can't get more than 16 gigs of RAM, and these are all my concerns about this thing, right?
Right, right.
So that just, it more adds to my confusion over this. So I'm going to keep analyzing it and try and figure out and, you know, looking for feedback from people, but... It's interesting to watch. Again, I think it's a great machine. I think there's a lot of things to really like about it. I'm just really confused at who's going to be buying them and who they're selling them to.
Right. Well, and like I said, mine's coming at the beginning of December, and once I can go hands on, maybe we'll have a better idea of who the target market for this computer really is.
Right.
So we'll see. Hey, we're out of time, so we're going to have to wrap up. Adam, thank you so much for being here today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And Dave, thank you for being here as well.
My pleasure.
And Smart Backup 4 from SoulSignal, thank you for being our sponsor today. You can check out the trial version at soulsignal.com/smartbackup, and then check out today's show notes for that awesome discount so you can pick up your copy for $24.99 instead of $34.99. Listeners, thank you for being here, and we'll see everyone again tomorrow.